PUBG, I checked the other night, 600. I'm at exactly 600 hours. Rocket League, I'm at 250.
What if you took
Counter-Strike, I'm at like 80.
The total hours of all those games and put it to like trying to solve world hunger.
I wouldn't be good at it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting video game edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Booger Kid from Wind Waker.
Thank you!
Oh! Thank you!
Beetle.
Big Bad Beetle.
Big Borg. Bad Beetle Borgs. What other names? Whatever. What other people?
Do you remember?
Are there?
You remember Booger Kid?
Yeah, Booger Kid. He's got the long, little
giant
from Wind Waker. Yeah,
he's my vote for
president.
next assist trophy.
He's Booger Kid. He grosses you out. You just run off the map.
Yeah. He'll chase you around. If you get too close to the edge, he'll bash you with his big old booger. Murph.
Booger. Who do I know named Booger?
Revenge of the Nerds. Do you know someone named Booger?
I don't think so. There's Booger McFarland. He was a commentator for Monday Night Football this year and widely considered one of the worst commentators in the world in history and in general.
As bad of a commentator as Navi or Fi?
Hey, listen!
You never experienced Fi.
I haven't experienced Fi, no, but we're getting ahead of ourselves here. With me, as always, the brother of the movie... the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory...
Banjo.
And, yes. Gus over there. Yeah, that's your name.
Here I be.
Hey, and here we go.
You've been met with a terrible fate.
On this podcast of the movies, for the movies, by the movies, I would say we are the...
Movies, but not today.
No. Yeah. So we're trying to freshen things up and trying not to do a movie every week because, you know, we were thinking about it a while back when we first got started, really, I think. And you had mentioned to me, you know, I feel like we're going to run out of movies to do at some point, which I don't think that's really possible. We can always find a movie or something to talk about. But we've also been met with, not a criticism, but a suggestion to maybe change things up from time to time. We're a little too formulaic, so we're trying to, you know, mix it up and do something different. So we're doing the discussions every now and again. We've done Marvel discussion, we've done Pokemon discussion, and we've done movies in between sporadically. So today, we're going to switch it up, and we're going to do a video game for our factory in general, and we're going to talk about the video game and talk about what maybe our ideal movie would look like in a sense. It's going to be changing up. But usually what we do here on this podcast is we take a movie, we watch that film, we then discuss what makes it good, what makes it bad, and we submit it to the factory. And that's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would star in it? Who would compose it? Etc. And then we have a little questioning time at the end where we just kind of ask each other some questions. But for today, we're going to do video games. So we're just going to kind of talk about the video game, what makes it good, what makes it bad, and then talk about maybe what our ideal movie would look like in story and maybe actors and actresses and things like that. So with that being said, for our first video game factory, we decided to go with one of, I think, both our favorite series, one of our favorites. It's up there with me for a variety. It is your favorite.
Yeah, it's a console buyer for me. Like, I will buy, I'll spend.
You're not a really big video game, avid video game player.
No, but I will play Zelda.
Yeah. So today we went with probably one of the greatest video game series of all time. I think you'd find rare people that would say that's not true.
That's impossible.
The Legend of Zelda. Such a great, iconic, just title in general. I hear Legend of Zelda and I'm like, all right, let's do this. I've played more Legend of Zelda titles than any other video game. I think that's also true for you as well.
It'd be that or the Mario series for
me. All right.
You too? No? You haven't played too many Marios?
I mean, I've really only played... I've beaten...
You're talking played to completion.
Yes. Yeah. If I don't count games toward my, like, actual, like, favorites list, unless I've beaten them. Hmm. Or if I've played them for like plus 100 hours, like Smash Brothers. I've played Smash Ultimate for like 200 hours, I think, total so far.
Jesus.
Which doesn't even touch a candle to some of the people I come in line
PUBG.
With. Yeah, PUBG, I checked the other night, 600. I'm at exactly 600
Jesus
hours.
Christ.
Rocket League, I'm at 250.
What if you took
Counter-Strike, I'm like 80.
The total hours of all those games and put it to like trying to solve world hunger.
I wouldn't be good at it. see, this is my thinking, and just to get into the video games here, something you've always loved movies. That's always been your thing, and you've always played video games too. But I've always felt with myself that video games were an art style and or a medium that appealed more to me personally. And I was kind of thinking about why is it that I like video games so much today, and I think part of it is that I've never, and I've always said this, and this is going to get heavy and deep, but I've never really found something that I'm, like, really, really, really good at. I've never found anything, like, a skill that I personally have that I'm good at compared to other people. Like, you know, some people can play guitar really well. Like, I can't do that. Some people can do all these fancy things really well, and I just never was able to do that. And video games kind of supply that outlet where I'm pretty good at video games. I'm okay at a lot of video games. There are games that I'm good at. But it gives you that outlet to, like, be someone else for a second who is really good at something. Like, you're a soldier, and they're really good at being a soldier. Or you're Link in Legend of Zelda, and you're really good at saving kingdoms. Like, you're able to kind of leave yourself for a little bit and play as someone different. Be someone different. Engross yourself in a story and become that person for an hour, 2 hours, where you can be really good at something.
Or 600 hours.
Yeah, or 600 hours, where I just die for most of that. But still... you're able to, like, go into this kind of realm of just a different world, different fantasy lifestyle or something of that nature where you can just play. Like, I've been playing, like I said, this is one of my favorite video game series, Legend of Zelda. And as of the last 2 years, that Persona series, Persona 5, Persona 4, which I'm almost done with Persona 4, is creeping up on the Zelda series. And I think that's really because it's such an escapism. When you're playing those Persona games, it's such an escapism where you're going into, you know, someone's life and you're experiencing all these events and whatnot. Same goes for Zelda, especially with Breath of the Wild. But Persona games talk for a different day, etc. But I just wanted to preface that with, like, video games, I feel, are such an important medium and something that has been a huge part of my life. So that's why today I'm excited that we're talking about a video game in terms of turning it into a movie or what it might look like as a movie someday. But also because I just feel that, as prefaced by, like, the Sonic, the Hedgehog bullshit, Hollywood doesn't know how to do video games right.
They have yet to make one that's like, this is pretty good.
Yeah. They haven't had that like, X-Men moment where, like, X-Men came out and it was like, which... spoiler, might do that next week, but they haven't had that moment where it's like,
the craze.
This can be successful. They haven't had that yet. Which, before we really get into it, I saw a trailer today. Someone went in and they took out their Sonic that was in, like, the trailer, and they replaced him with, like, the video game Sonic. Like, they did their own rendition of Sonic. Mm. I don't know what they used, but it looked so much better. Like, it was same trailer, but with this cartoon Sonic. It was still 3D rendered and everything, but it looked so much better.
They replaced him with that Uganda Knuckles or something. You know,
jeez.
I will show you the way. Show me the way. Whatever it is.
But, I think that I'm excited to talk about video games today and one of my favorite series and yours, but also to just discuss how we would make a movie work. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people, because I know your idea for a Zelda movie, I've heard it before, and I think a lot of people will probably hear that and be like, god damn it, why don't they make that? Because it would work. But no one, that Hollywood doesn't think that way.
Nah. So. And also on this podcast, I would like to take some time up front, maybe talk about the history of Zelda and the franchise itself, and then just some memories with some of the games that we have, and just regale some tales.
Yeah, no, that's what we're here for. We're here for a Zelda game factory. So, Legend of Zelda, Miyamoto.
Yes, so King. Miyamoto, famous video game creator, Responsible for a lot of your favorite Nintendo characters, such as Mario, Samus from Metroid,
Donkey Kong, Yoshi,
and the list goes on and on. And one of those big creations he made was The Legend of Zelda. And his original idea coming to the idea of Zelda was he wanted to create a game that would, like, hopefully create, those experiences one has when they're younger going exploring. That's, like, he wanted to do make a video game that was kind of like what he experienced when he was younger, going out in the woods around his home, just exploring, having adventures, going into bushes and trees and finding caves. And that was the real inspiration, was the memory he had when he was walking in his woods and he found the entrance to a cave.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And he wanted to kind of make a, as he put it, like a video game garden where there was no set path. You start and you kind of just, like, go explore, because there's, like, 8 different maps. Or not maps, but areas in the Zelda, and there is no direct, like, this is the way to go this way. So he wanted to create, like, true exploration and just messing around. So, like, you could, like, be walking and just randomly using, like, a torch, and you'll accidentally burn a bush, and there'll be a hidden staircase and with rubies underneath, and you might throw a bomb, and it'll explode a wall, and there'll be a cave there. And so it was very interesting and very unique when it came out.
Also, first game to have a save.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It had, like, a built-in battery thing in the cartridge that allowed for saving, so you didn't have to beat it all in one go.
I believe it was the first game to have
saving. I believe so.
Before that, I know there were games that did codes. You could, you took down the code where you were, you paused it and took down the code, and then when you booted the game up, you type in the code, and it would take you back
to
where
you were. Yeah, that's what they would do. So... yeah, they created Legend of Zelda. And it's funny, while he was working on Zelda, he was also, like, simultaneously working on Super Mario Brothers, which Super Mario Brothers came out a year earlier. So he was coming up with potentially two of his greatest creations at the same time.
And probably, I would say Mario and Link and The Legend of Zelda, I would say those are probably the faces of Nintendo. Because I look through the years... and, like, consistently on every Nintendo console, there's always, like, a console seller of a Mario game and a console seller of a Zelda game.
Yeah.
You know, like, Samus, like, GameCube, you could argue, was, like, Samus's run
with
Metroid Prime.
But you got, like, Super Mario Sunshine on there and Wind Waker.
Yeah.
But you do have the Metroid Prime games,
now,
for
with,
sure.
Now, with that, though, with Wind Waker, people didn't like Wind Waker when
it
came out.
It's a very, controversial,
infamous.
Yeah,
it was. I think it's widely loved and respected now.
Hopefully,
should be, because it's one of the best. But Legend of Zelda. It's a game. The original is a game that I've tried to play multiple times. I've beaten the first dungeon like 3 times because it is pretty quick. Or one of the first, because there is no set path.
You're talking the original.
The original. And I just haven't been able to get through it because it's just a little too old school. Because I like. They keep doing these, like, SNES Classic and the NES Classic, and that wasn't what I grew up with. So it's almost too hard for me to go back to these old games. N64 Classic I would buy.
Yeah.
But, like that. So I've tried, and it's almost like, oh, this is a challenge because it's so old. It's so different. And I'm like, I want to do this, but I can't because it's so old.
Too old.
Yeah.
I think I made it to, like, level 3. In the original Zelda game. I just haven't beat it.
It went Legend of Zelda, and then it went Legend of Zelda 2, Link's...
Please. Zelda 2.
Zelda
Adventure 2. Of
Adventure
Link.
You
Neanderthal.
Then did it go Link to the Past?
Link to the Past, and then they made a handheld version of Zelda, but
Link
it's...
Link to the Past DX.
No. I didn't mean to confuse you. Gotcha. It's not a version of that. They made an adventure on the Game Boy. Called Link's Wake. Yeah, Link's Wake.
Which is getting a remake on the Switch.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Sexy.
People are upset about that one, though, because apparently it's like a... I never beat it. I played it like a billion times.
I could never beat it.
But apparently it's really short. Like,
14
hours, 12 hours.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something really short.
Now, people are speculating that maybe they're going to add some dungeons. I mean, they'd be right to if they're going to charge like $60.
I don't know if they'll charge that.
I've heard rumors that they might do like 40.
40, yeah.
40 would be respectable.
respectable muscles.
Yeah, yeah. In this video game industry world that likes to charge money for the things they create.
Monsters.
Yes. Yeah, no, the Zelda games,
What was the first Legend of Zelda game you beat? When, where, how, why?
Ocarina of Time, but I didn't play the whole game.
That doesn't count.
Because I played your file, and I beat Ganondorf when you were away.
No, the first one you played all on your lonesome.
First one I ever played all by my lonesome would still be Ocarina of Time.
That you, no, answer my first question. First one you played on your lonesome that you beat.
Yeah, played the whole way through and beat.
Was it Ocarina of Time?
Ocarina of Time on the 3DS.
I thought it would have been...
Oracle of Seasons? Oracle of Ages?
No. Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Phantom Hourglass. It was Phantom Hourglass.
That was one of those situations. I asked you the question knowing the answer, and you didn't give me the answer. I'm like, no. That's not your answer.
Yeah. It would have been Phantom Hourglass, which is a direct sequel to Wind Waker, which... I mean, back in the day, Gus and I lived out in the boonies, so I would watch Gus play a lot of these games. I mean, I probably watched you play through pretty much all of Ocarina, all the Banjo-Kazooies, all of Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, etc. This is a sequel to Wind Waker, so I had known a lot of the things that had gone down in Wind Waker because of that, and I played Phantom Hourglass for the DS. It was a great game. I remember that was like one of the first games that I got so frustrated with a puzzle, I couldn't beat it. So I put it down, and then like a month later, I picked it back up, and I immediately solved the puzzle. I was like, fuck. And I do that sometimes where I'm like, I gotta put this game away for a little while, just take a break and come back to it, and that's what I did, and I beat it. Really cool villain in that game, Bellum, a big octopus that was like feeding on the souls of forgotten Hyrule.
Whoa.
Yeah, Bellum's a really cool villain. And different from Ganon. And I like Ganon and Ganondorf. I like those renditions of villains, but it's nice to get away from them from time to time. So that was the first one I played. But then the first one that I probably, like, actively, like, I have actual memories of, because I was younger when I was playing that, Phantom Hourglass, would be Ocarina of Time on the 3DS. I remember, like, I was on vacation with a friend and two friends, and the one had a smartphone. I did not have a smartphone. I had a track phone. And
it ran out of minutes.
Yeah. No, I had the double minutes card. Oh, but I was using his smartphone throughout this trip to look up walkthroughs for Ocarina of Time because it was so hard. And actually, that was the catalyst to me begging mom for a smartphone. Like, I was like, I need to be able to do things.
I need walkthroughs, damn it.
I need to be able to look. I'm going to have games on the go. I need to know how to beat them. I can't figure it out for myself. What do you think this is, the 90s?
Yeah. I remember you beating the game and telling me that Ganon, the final boss of the game, was the hardest boss fight you'd ever played. Does that still stand true?
No.
What's taken the crown?
Honestly, Persona 5. It took me to get to the final boss of Persona 5. No spoilers here. I'll just say you have to fight 4 mini-bosses without saving. So if you lose to one of the mini bosses, you go back to the beginning, and if you get to beat those 4 mini bosses, which are all insanely hard, you get to the main boss, and you don't save before any of that. So if you die to the main boss, you have to go back to fight all the mini bosses again.
Back to the carpet.
Very frustrating.
More Arnold.
I think it took me 6 or 7 tries to beat it. Think about that. The game took me 105 hours to beat, and 6 or 7 tries of, and I know the battle that I did win took me 45 minutes. To beat the boss. I was underleveled. I'm playing Persona 4 right now. I'm level 78. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost to like the final boss. In the final boss of Persona 5, I was like level 54.
Right.
So I was underleveled. But yeah, Ganondorf at the time, at Ganon. Not Ganondorf so much, but Ganon was so hard to get to his tail. And I was younger. I was probably 16, 15, 16. Which is, I guess, isn't like super young for a video game player, but still, yeah, it was really hard. You know who isn't hard? Majora.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Majora's simple.
Have you ever tried fighting Majora?
Why would I have the fierce deity mask?
Without the fierce deity mask. And
think about how easy the Ganondorf fight or Ganon fight would be with the fierce deity mask. You just slice through his body through the sword.
Just to touch base here with you, spit listeners, right here. Yeah, we're talking Legend of Zelda. We're talking video games mostly. So if you're not into video games, or if you know dick for shit about Legend of Zelda, it's okay.
Pick it up.
We're here for you.
Yeah.
No, he's saying to pick it up. I was gonna say,
I say buy the goddamn game.
buy the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia book.
No, it'll confuse you. I know Zelda and I look it up and I'm like, "Oh God, I'm dizzy." I've watched like hour-long videos explaining the timeline and I still don't understand the timeline. I like what they did with Breath of the Wild. We're like, "Yeah, it's something else."
We're over here.
Yeah.
They're just fooling around.
It's not even on the timeline. It's
Yeah.
the Pittsburgh timeline over here. Breath of the Wild, that's it.
So, Legend of Zelda, obviously a video game franchise, beloved by many, loved by everyone, should be.
Would
And
think.
you would think. Spanning from 1986 to today, how many games have there been?
Like,
Over.
including spin-offs and stuff?
At least over 20 to
I
30
would believe
games,
so,
yeah.
yeah. And all of them, generally all of them are critical successes.
Yeah.
I know there's some stinkers in there, but generally all of them. Even like Zelda 2, I'm like, that one sucks. And I was watching lists recently, and like a lot of them are like, this in the top five. I'm like, I thought it sucked.
Yeah, so it's also just whatever your palate is.
Yeah.
What do you like?
Graphics have been different across the series. The storytelling elements have been different throughout the series, so
Yeah.
yeah, it does boil down to
I
that.
almost broke up with my girlfriend the other day because she said she never got into Zelda, didn't like just the adventure style of it. I was like, what?
But to go off of that though, think about this. So his original idea, Miyamoto's original idea, was to make a game that you could go out, literal sandbox game before sandbox games were a thing, go out and explore. And just have this vast world, no set pattern. And then somewhere along the line, you changed. And it
In the
started,
sequel.
yeah, in the sequel, it made it very linear. And that's kind of the formula that it traveled with Zelda throughout its series, is it was all linear. You went from this dungeon to this dungeon to this dungeon. Maybe you got a little older along the way. And then you went to this dungeon, and you collected items, and those items all came together and made a bridge to something. Or you're traveling across the sea, collecting pieces of the Triforce, and you're going to dungeons in between. Zelda's very linear. This is what you're doing.
I could argue against that, though.
Now, I hear what you're about to say. You're probably going to say, well, you can explore, and you can.
And there's
But
the side quests,
there
and
are
there's all
side
kinds of
quests and
different
things,
things.
but they're not like your Skyrim side quests that take you like 4 hours away that is like a killer to you. This is like your type where you can go and, you know, Majora's Mask, you're like, I want to go to Lon Lon Ranch, but there's a big rock in the way. And a
Right.
guy's hacking at it for 3 days, but then I have to go back in time again. So.
And people who don't know Zelda, and you just say that sentence, they're gonna be like,
But
"Who?"
people who do know Zelda are like, oh yeah, that sucks. But yeah, there's like things blocking your path throughout Zelda and all these games. There's things blocking your path, or you know, you can't go up into Mount Doom, the mountain that's like a volcano mountain. You can't go up there without your
Smeagol's there.
heat, yeah, without your heat armor, and different things of that nature. There's things that preventing you from going, so it's not 100% open world. Now, that's how it went throughout the Zelda series after the first one. The first one was so non-linear, but then all of the others after that were progressively linear. And then you get to, and I'd say Wind Waker was like probably the closest to like you were allowed to go anywhere pretty much, but there were things that stopped you. But Breath of the Wild, that was their idea. Let's go back to this no set pattern. You can go wherever you want. And you and I both beat that game. You and I both have different opinions on that game. I know you like it. But I was like, this is best game I've ever played. It's number one game. Now it's being challenged in my mind. I'm constantly fighting between it and Persona
I
5.
guess you gotta play it again.
Probably. I've thought about it. But I've also thought about playing Persona 5 again, and that's gonna take
Oof.
my life again. But it's so open-ended. You can go anywhere. You can challenge any boss from the get-go. It does lose some things. It loses the dungeons, which I missed. It does have dungeons, but they're not dungeons.
And they're not that they're lame, they're just like
They're very similar.
they're very, very similar. They're just like a puzzle room.
Yeah,
A
one big puzzle.
Big old puzzle.
Big old pretzel. Yeah, so it's like it was the first one that just it really went back to those roots of exploring. go out and just figure out everything, play with the physics of the game, and explore. And, I mean, it's gotten to the point where, like, I've done everything that there is to do in that game other than collect all the Koroks, which are these little seedy boys that are hiding under rocks and in trees, and there's little mini games across, and there's 999 of them, I believe. I've collected, like, 200 of them.
Jeez.
But
what's the noise they make?
Ha ha ha! It's gotten to the point where I'll hop on my horse and I'll just ride my horse around. I won't fast travel anymore. I just ride this horse around Hyrule. And like I said, video games is escapism to me. I get to go somewhere else for a little while. So I just ride around Hyrule and explore. And I've found so many neat little spots, neat places. Like, did you know there's a place in Hyrule in Breath of the Wild that is dedicated to the president of Nintendo who passed away like 2 years ago?
He passed away? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the forest is named after him, and it's like all these Japanese cherry blossoms and like a pond, and that little area is named after him, and it's there. Like, I stumbled upon it. There's so many cool little things and places all throughout, caves, places that villains are. It's such a neat experience to play this game where you literally just explore, but...
Tranquil music.
Very tranquil music, but for you, it was like... You wanted that linear aspect. You wanted to be like told, like, this is what I got to do next. Because when you didn't have that, it was a little overwhelming, correct?
Slightly. There are bigger games than that. This game is pretty big, as in, like, there's a lot you can do, and it's a little daunting. My problem with Breath of the Wild was in its story and in its characters. They weren't the greatest. There's been better Zelda stories. And if this game had a stronger story and story structure, structure is what I meant.
It was so loose that it didn't have a story to tell.
Pretty much, it's like you could go any path, which kind of affected the story. And that's also why the four main dungeons are so similar, because you can do any of them out of any order, and it just kind of diminished something for me. It took away something for me, and a lot of the characters weren't the greatest, weren't that memorable to me. That's just my opinion. I've played.
Not Urbosa?
Huh?
Not Urbosa?
There's been.
Not Revali?
No, there's been better of.
Not Mipha?
There's
not
been...
Daruth? Zelda?
One of my favorite.
The Great Deku Tree?
One of my favorites. Can I get a word in?
No.
I'm going to fill your mouth with cement. Do you hate when people say that? Cement.
Holes! Holes! Yeah.
I saw once a meme. It was the Great Deku Tree.
But it was Deku from.
But it was Deku from My Hero Academia.
You don't know who sent you that meme?
All right.
Hat makes you look like a girl. Am I a pretty girl?
There's been better versions of like Urbosa and Revali in previous games.
Okay.
There has been. Play fucking Ocarina of Time. There's a better Gerudo.
I already played it.
Yeah. Then you know.
His name's Ganondorf.
Yeah.
Because he is a Gerudo.
Zelda humor.
Yeah. Got him.
Wind Waker. There's a better... What are the birds in the... The thingies.
The thingies.
The bird guys.
The Birdman, man.
The bird.
Michael Keaton's going around.
Yeah, the Michael Keaton guys.
They are the Rito.
Rito. They're Ritos, yeah. Better version in that.
Yeah.
In that.
And then there's, I would say not the Gerudos, the Gorons. I would say the best Goron is definitely either in Majora's Mask, he's the dead one.
Yeah.
He's really good.
It's very memorable.
He's memorable, damn it. But then the Goron in...
And has
the
big old baby.
The big Goron. The big Goron that you get the big Goron sword from. Is it the Bigoron?
The Bigoron.
The Bigoron sword.
In Ocarina of Time.
That's interesting because, like, Breath of the Wild, for those of you who don't know, all the weapons have a limit. And they break after a while. I think Bigoron sword's the only sword in Breath of the Wild that just... Or not Breath of the Wild, or Ocarina of Time, that just breaks, like, after too many uses, right?
Yeah, it breaks, but then you can forge it proper, and you have to do this whole side quest. You got to get these frog tears, you got to do this and that, and then eventually it's forged and it can't break.
Yeah.
It's a big old side quest. Big old pretzel.
Big old pretzel.
Just like in what's his name? Majora's Mask. You get like that one cool sword that's on the cover of the game and everything, but you can
it's like the bronze sword.
You can only have 100 strikes with it, then it'll break. But then you can get this gold dust and reforge it.
Okay.
And you get the gold.
Let's talk about some of these games. So we kind of discussed Breath of the Wild and how you said there was more memorable moments. Let's talk about one that's probably the most fond in our memory. Maybe not Wind Waker's up there as well, but I do want to talk about Ocarina of Time. Often Ocarina of Time is considered like one of the first games to really change the way 3D games, are made in terms of like what they can do. It's very open. It's very massive for the time too. There's a lot of places you can go and a lot of things to discover. And the story is just phenomenal in that game. That's a story that I often look back at, and I'm like, oh man, like you're this. Well, he was from Hyrule. Link was, correct, but he was like,
he thought he was a forest dweller called Kakariko
Village,
or Kakori, something like that.
Elf kid. Yeah, well, elf kid, buddy guy.
Little fairy forest folk, but it turns out he was Hyrulean.
Fox.
After you meet some of them, you're like, this fuck.
I don't think so. If I remember the one, I'm like, I don't want to leave you here. Was
well,
that, it the girl?
That's Sarah, or Sarah, yeah. However you say it. Sarah. No, I'm talking the little bastard who's
Sarah!
Like...
Meta Nettie.
I'm talking a little bastard who's like standing in front of the
he like, entrance. He like jiggles you around, yeah.
He's just... His box out game is too strong.
No. Can't go in there. No.
That's exactly it. Nah.
But the big Deku tree.
Smash!
Yes.
He's like, there are spiders inside.
If I...
You must defeat them.
We're casting the great Deku tree. Oh, it's Chris Sabat.
He's like, could you imagine him telling you the tale of the origin of Hyrule? Three goddesses.
Yes. Please.
Here's a tough question. Would you rather imagine this in your mind's eye? Chris Sabat, voice of Vegeta and All Might and other anime characters, voice of the Great Deku Tree, or the voice of Ganondorf?
Water. I want Sean Schimmel as Ganondorf. I know that would be awful, but I want him to do King Kai's voice.
I want him to
be like, "Ah, Link!"
I want him to be King Kai's voice, but as the Happy Mask salesman.
See, I would think if I was going to cast like we are so goddamn off topic.
No, we're not.
We aren't, because we're just talking Zelda. If I was going to cast like Ganondorf voice actor, I would go with the voice of Cell, Perfect Cell. Yeah, like
I'm perfect.
I'm intellectual. Hello, Bill. Like, I'm Gaston.
I'm Cell.
Yes.
I'm
Ganondorf.
And I'm going...
Come here, I'm going to Doria you.
What?
That's his Overa in so Smash Brothers. Yeah, if you listen, when in Smash Brothers Ultimate, when you hit your Overa, Ganondorf just goes like, Doria!
Okay, yeah. And then we're going to have sex.
Yes.
I'm going to Warlock fist you.
I'm going to take that Triforce of Wisdom. Some wisdom of my own.
With my power. And you will need courage.
You know what? Let's make this a threesome. Everyone,
Link, what are you doing?
Hello, Link.
We're going to have sex.
He is.
What?
I mean,
yeah.
In Ocarina of Time, he's playing that sensual music on your way up.
He's just chilling.
Is that like? Let's talk about that. The end of Ocarina of Time. You're going up to fight Ganon. And you're like, I'm gonna fuck this guy up. But that music makes you want to be like, it's testing that Triforce of Courage. You're like, I gotta get out of here.
Even as you're playing, and you get higher and higher up in this tower. There's like each floor has a different challenge that you have to face, and there's like six or seven rooms that you have to like do these little challenges as well. But as you're getting higher and higher in this tower, the music's getting a little louder and louder and louder till you're up that final staircase.
Yeah, it's just going around. It's kind of like you feel like the person.
It's scary.
Yeah, you feel like the person, the lady from Airplane. It's like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. And he's like, calm down. Everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah, that's what you need. It's scary.
Yeah, it is. And the fight is really cool, too.
It's epic.
Like, the hacking the ball of light,
the energy ball
back at him, and having to fall down to the pit if you wanted health, like the very base, and then using the hover boots to go across the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the Zelda games are so intuitive. A lot of their boss fights are so neat and cool.
A lot of them are very unique, especially in Skyward Sword, which I know you didn't really play too much.
I haven't played any of them.
Oh, okay. Well,
I didn't play any of Twilight. I haven't played any of Skyward Sword.
What the hell? I know.
I'm waiting for the sequel. I'm waiting for the remake to come to Switch.
I got Twilight on Wii U if you ever want to try it.
Why can't they just bring it to the Switch?
Because it's on the Wii U right now.
But
Skyward Sword, a very difficult control scheme, but when it works, it's great. Or not great, but it's cool. It's cool. It's better because it uses motion control.
Could they not do that with the Joy-Cons?
They could.
They could just make like a remaster and still use the controls.
Just not on the go.
Okay.
Not when it's, you know.
Well, you could. You just have to take it out. You couldn't do handheld mode.
So, the only problem, and that was the gimmick of Skyward Sword, it was the Nintendo Wii, so you had the Nunchuck controller. It had this like motion, what do you call it? The Wii Motion Plus, which made it more accurate to hand movement. So Link, you pull out your sword, and it was like pretty accurate to your hand movement, and you actually had to hack and slash and do different hand movements to do different things. And so that allowed for a lot of innovation with boss battles. There was this one boss I remember in particular. He had six arms and swords and stuff, but he was like a machine. And you'd have to, like, hack in certain ways to cut off his arms. It was a really fun boss battle. He had a whip, too, and you had to, like, maybe that was it. You had to whip off the arms, yeah, and you whip and you pull and all kinds of things. It was pretty unique and innovative. But, yeah, give you one hell of
Link,
a...
Link, played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
Well, I wish. 90s Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes. Yes. The boss fights throughout, I think, for whatever reason, one of the biggest boss fights that I remember is are the ones from Majora's Mask, and probably because I think I saw you play through Majora's Mask.
I was like, I'm going to tell this story next, and here you are telling it.
The first guy,
I remember his name, but yeah.
Frequently, that boss fight.
That one's what I was going to talk about.
What's his name?
Got.
Got him!
Got him.
He's terrifying.
He's like a big old goat bowl thing with like a human face.
It's like a circle. The whole map, the final map is like a giant circle, and it's a really cool boss fight.
That might be my favorite boss fight in all of Legend of Zelda.
I think in all, my favorite boss fight would be the fight with Ganondorf from Wind Waker, the final boss fight, because it's so goddamn satisfying at the end.
Yeah, that's true. Very difficult.
Very difficult, but
well, you played it on the Wii U.
Yes.
And they fixed some things for it. I played on GameCube. It was goddamn impossible. Because you have to do this bullshit where Zelda has these light arrows. And she shoots at you, and you reflect them with your mirror shield at Ganondorf. And in the Wii U version, which they made a few years ago, they fixed this issue. Because the issue was she would never point at you or she'd miss, and it was so frustrating, and it was like I'm not losing because I suck, I'm losing because you suck.
Yeah, this is the Legend of Zelda being an idiot.
But
I would probably say that's my favorite boss fight.
The final fight between you and Ganondorf in Twilight Princess,
I need to
is
play
epic
it.
As shit.
I know, I need to play
you fight well first you fight in the castle. And he possesses Zelda. You have to fight
Spoilers.
Her. Yeah, spoiler alert. You have to fight Zelda. And you have to do this all in one life. So you beat that, and then he becomes, like, beast mode Ganon. So he becomes a big old pig monster.
Big old pig man. He's here!
He's here scaring us. Teleporting through Twilight portals and shit. And when you beat that, then you go into the field, and he's on horseback. And you have to beat him on horseback. Then he unmounts,
yes.
And then you fight him sword to sword.
Like worried that might sound sexual. He unmounts.
He unmounts his sword.
He unmounts from the
tribe Bell.
Wars of from Bell.
And you have this epic sword fight in the field with this badass music. It's, I'm, I'm wrecked. Just talking about.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that boss fight. I just the ending, the final bit of Wind Waker's fight. Spoiler. If you've never played Wind Waker, shut off the podcast now. Again, I repeat, spoiler. If you've never played Wind Waker, shut off the podcast now. If you don't care, or if you know what happens and you don't care about what I'm about to say, and that is, you just stab Ganondorf right in the head,
right in the face,
and then he just turns to stone and dies.
Hey, you know what's great is you stab him in the face. Like, there's a sword in his forehead, and he's still like. He's still laughing.
He's still like, so no.
I'll take that as a maybe.
See you in another 100 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I'll be back.
And he turns to stone. You're like, well, shit.
You're like, all right, he's dead, and then he's back. It's yeah, Calamity Ganon.
No, that's they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, it's another timeline.
Another thing, Midge.
But... Yeah, I would say that's you know what was I think ultimately like one of my most disappointing video game experiences in history was beating Majora and Majora's Mask. I know I didn't cheat because it is part of the game, but in Majora's Mask, for those of you who don't know, you go out and you get masks. That's the whole point of the game, is you're
they
finding
have different
masks.
Abilities yeah, and purposes, things like that.
And it's really hard to do, but there's 40 in total.
Something like that, yeah.
I think there's 40. And you can, if you collect them all, you get the Fierce Deity Mask. And the Fierce Deity Mask kind of turns you into like an adult Link-esque character who has this crazy powerful sword that can literally like, shoot beams from it. And if you have that mask, Majora, like, he doesn't even touch you. You can just literally just spam it, and it kills him. And I beat him so quick, and I remember thinking, like, that was very anticlimactic. He has, like, 3 forms, too, that are all terrifying, and I still just – it was so easy.
Yeah, without it, I've tried without it. He's pretty goddamn hard.
No, he's worthless.
That,
I feel like I could have cut the moon in half myself.
Then
– Oh!
That's
fucking giants.
Those giants. Yeah. Those, like, naked big – baby
Big
giants.
Baby giants, yeah.
Let me ask you, if you could give me top 3 personal favorite Zelda games.
Breath of the Wild be number 1, Wind Waker number 2, Ocarina number 3. I have played a total of 7, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the number of... You've played to completion, you mean?
Yeah, I've played Ocarina, Majora, Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, Link Between Worlds, Breath of the Wild, and Link to the Past.
Do you beat Link to the Past?
I beat Link to the Past after I played Link Between Worlds.
So my favorite of all time, this is my favorite video game of all time as well, is Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker. I love being able to explore the open sea. I personally love the graphic style. Yes, it's very different than most Zelda games, or any video game, really. It's like cel-shaded cartoon-looking.
Yes.
It turned a lot of people off. It turned me off
initially. Yeah, I
remember
you being upset about it.
I saw that. I'm like, I'm not buying this game.
It's for babies.
And then I saw the trailer for it. And I'm like, fuck, I need it. And yeah, and it turned out to be my favorite video game of all time. Number two and three is... so tough for me because it
number
switches.
Two and three is one game.
it could alternate because it depends on what conversation I'm having. I'm yeah. Like, I like that one more. Then I'm like, oh, no, I like this one more. That's yeah, between Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Wrong.
No.
Depends right. on if you're sad or not. If you're sad, you're like Majora's Mask.
So Ocarina of Time was the first video game I ever beat the whole way through. Yeah. I was 8 years old, and now I play it back now. I'm like, how the fuck did I do this without the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was in first grade and I got it and I beat it. Anyway, maybe it was in second grade. Doesn't matter. Then, so it was the first game I ever beat, so I'm very nostalgic about it. But also, there's a reason it's voted by many as the greatest video game ever made. And it's at the top of a lot of people's lists.
Yeah.
And typically, if you see a Legend of Zelda like top 10 list of like any like magazine or video game website, they always end with Ocarina of Time is the best. There's a
mostly
reason for that.
Probably because of how good it is, but also that nostalgia
yeah.
factor.
But even like upon it coming out, like there's just never a game like it up to that point.
Yeah.
There has since been many. So it was very innovative for its time, but the story itself is incredible. The gameplay is still incredible. It holds up. Yeah, it holds up.
You play it on the 3DS, and you're like, this game's great. Yes. That's how I beat it. I beat it on the 3DS.
I would give that to people who don't like Zelda and be like, at least play until you give
turn
up.
Turn into adult. At least play half of it.
Yeah, at least half. And I guarantee they'll maybe they won't stick with it, but they'll may change their mind.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. A little taste of glory. So what I love about Majora's Mask is it took everything that you've become accustomed to with Zelda and turned it on its head.
And it's it also made you sad.
Yeah, it's familiar because they literally use the same engine to make the sequel. It's the sequel to Ocarina of Time. So all the graphics are the same. A lot of the characters are the same. There's some new ones. And they got around all this by saying it's in an alternate world. And this
Termina.
The bizarre game.
Yeah.
It's just so strange, so dark, and twisted even. There are some just...
That part with the re-deads?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, no. The re-deads, that's an Ocarina of Time.
There's re-deads in there.
I'm sure.
To get that one mask, there's the
damn
things that grab you, and there's re-deads, and you have to go and get that one mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It's like a really scary, sad game.
Yeah, there's...
It makes you feel bad. It really does. I remember thinking that. I'm like, this game, the music, you go into that swamp, this is the first level, basically. The swamp, and the music. Yeah. Music's, it's foggy. The water, the swamp water is poisonous if you touch it and it kill you. It's so dark.
It's so dark and gloomy.
Yeah, it's it makes you feel bad. It's like a rainy day, but you're playing it.
But, you know, what's interesting is there's four levels, right?
Yes.
So the swamp, dark and gloomy. But once you defeat the boss and and save that area, you can swim in the water, and then the music's is the Zelda theme then.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, ba, ba, da, 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 and it brightens that area. Same with the second level, which is all snow. It's desolate
and there's
cold
and there's
dreary.
A ghost plot line where a guy's dead. Or a Goron's dead.
Yeah. And
he's Fox, but he's dead.
Everything is just dark and dismal. And once you defeat old Gott and take the mask and the snow
talk
melts.
Talk about that boss fight real quick, Gott.
So Gott,
boss fight.
Real quick to I just want to sum up the plot real quick. This lonely skull kid, just a little imp thing, mischievous imp, steals a mask named Majora that is basically a demon's inside.
Yeah.
And he puts it on. He kind of becomes possessed. And he gets all these powers. He fucks with Link in the woods a little bit and steals his horse and turns Link into this little shrub man.
A Deku.
So Link wants to, one, get his horse back and become normal again. So he's trying to figure out a way to do that. But on top of that, Majora is going to crash the moon, the fucking moon on the Earth in 3 days.
You throw another moon at me, I'm going to lose it.
In 3 days. So that's another game mechanic, because you have 3 days to beat the game.
That's really neat.
It is very neat.
Majora's Mask is different than any game I've
ever played. Ever. I don't think there'll ever be another game like it. You have 3 days to beat it, and you can do things to manipulate time, make it go slower, faster, go back in time. Yeah.
But every time you do that, you have to repeat certain events and do things in different orders in order to get different outcomes and stuff. It's cool.
It's very – that's,
it could
that's
probably
also
be done,
why.
It's a thing that probably could be done better today.
False.
Well, I'm saying that they probably do more things with today's technology and stuff.
So, yeah. And the only way to stop Majora and the moon from winning and killing everything is to get these four masks from these, these evil possessed things.
Yeah.
And so, yes, number two is God. Like I mentioned, it's this giant robotic bowl goat thing with a human mask face, and it's terrifying.
They say he's got a human head, and ah, there's one of them now.
And it runs. What's that? SpongeBob.
That's funny, okay.
Oh, that's right. That was a SpongeBob reference.
Yeah. So he's talking about Spirit of the Forest, anyways.
Oh my God, yes. Kind of looks like the Spirit of the Forest, just meaner. And it's a track, so it's a racetrack, so it's that kind of circle. And there's ramps, and basically you get masks that transform you, and you get the Goron mask. So you turn
yet?
Yeah, you turn into this big old muscular rock bunny.
Dwayne the Rock.
Bunny. buddy guy.
Rock man.
A rock man thing.
Dwayne.
And you curl up in a ball and he can roll and chase after him and get spikes. Yeah. So basically, yeah, you chase Gott and you slam into him and hurt him, but he's like shitting lightning at you and pooping out bombs, and then eventually stalactites are falling on you and stuff. It's just really fun.
It's epic.
It's epic. It's fun. And the music's creepy, and Gott is intimidating.
He is.
And so, yeah, but that alone and the game mechanic of the time travel thing and the collecting of the masks and getting the – I don't know if you remember this mask in general. Is it the sun mask or is it the engagement mask?
Engagement mask is when you get the two couples. You have to, like, do the whole couple thing. And that, it takes forever.
It takes forever.
Yeah. And you have to, like, go back.
It takes all 3 days.
Like, yeah, it takes all 3 days, and you have to, like, be there at specific times. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to deliver notes to people.
Yeah. And there's, like, different characters that are there, like, one day, and they're not the next.
And they're only there at certain times.
And the reason they're not there the next is because you weren't there to give them something and all kinds. It's so
you
unique.
Even fight aliens in that game.
It's you got
fight,
it all.
Yeah, you fight aliens.
But as you said, if you want to be sad, you play that game because it is pretty depressing.
Depressing.
But that would be number 3 or 2 for me.
Depends on if you're sad or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Zelda series, and I mean, we've been talking about it, and we've gotten so off topic, but that's what they're not.
We're not
off
topic.
Not off topic,
we're
but
regaling
we've been,
tales.
Yeah, we've been like here and there with Zelda series. You know, we're talking about Ocarina, and then we're like, you know, what's great in Breath of the Wild. So it's interesting, but that's kind of what Zelda does, because you play through all these games, and you're always Link, and there's always Zelda, and there's a lot of recurring characters like your Beetle, like your King of Hyrule, and Ganon and Ganondorf.
And Tingle.
Tingle. But that's what's crazy about that game is you're so familiar with all these characters and these mechanics and this linear story and how things are and the Triforce and all that stuff that they're almost all connected. Even if their timeline's a mess, they're all connected.
They're connected by your characters, the goal, the purpose, and funny enough to say, but the music.
Yeah, music's phenomenal. And you know, even the art in the game and the lore. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, like, figuring out the lores of games and things to myself. Like, people are like, know all the shit that's going on in Skyrim for, like, the past 1,000 years. And I'm like, I don't care. Or, like, Fallout. Like, my one friend, who doesn't listen to this podcast,
no friend of mine.
He plays a lot of Fallout, and he knows all the lore and stuff because he literally, if there's a computer, he'll read everything on that computer, like, in the game, like the terminals. So that's kind of, like, the Triforce. Like, the Triforce, if I was going to get a tattoo, it would probably be the Triforce because that's such a great symbol. I love the simplicity of it. But there's something, and it's weird. There's something so, like, meaningful to me when I see that Triforce symbol. I'm like, that's the Triforce. To the point,
respect it.
Like, where, like, I was on my 6th grade field trip to Gettysburg, and we were making flags. We were going to do Pickett's Charge of flags, class flags, and we needed a symbol for the class, and I voted and put to vote the Triforce, and I explained what it was, and it got voted yes. So that's what we charged with, was the Triforce. But yeah, the
you
power
think,
courage, wisdom.
You think love maybe the reason you love that symbol so much and why it means so much to you is because what you said to start off this show tonight was video games allow you to be someone else, immerse yourself into a different world, and here you're going on these grand adventures, grandiose, and you're going through such what's the word?
Trials
and
tribulations,
and just against all odds, you are trying to achieve your goal, and you're fighting for this symbol, this Triforce.
Yeah, and that's probably part of
it.
That's probably part of it. I mean, I like I've said, like, video games are such a release to me. I've always told my fiance, like, she's not much of a video game player, but she would be like, why do you play video games so much? And I say, it's like my wind down. Like, I always, every night, like, even if it's for, like, 30 minutes, I have to play, like, a video game. And I wouldn't say, like, oh, I'm addicted to video games, because I'm not. Like, there are people that are, like, spending too much money and losing their jobs and shit over playing video games or, like, failing at school. Like, I always put that stuff first. But it's more like, you know, last night, for instance, I didn't feel like playing games with my friends. So I laid in bed. I pulled out my PS Vita. I played Persona 4 for 30 minutes and then put it away and went to bed. It's like my wind down time, but it gives me that, like, some people read books. I read books too, but not that many, and mostly Star Wars. Some people watch movies every night. Some people watch TV shows and binge them. I've never been much of a binger. I've never been too, I get in the movie moods, but now it's almost to the point where, like, I could watch this movie or I could play this video game that I'm into the story for an hour. So it's just always been my preferred medium. And because of that, like, I can feel myself going into that world and actually being a part of it. Like, I watched Sword Art Online in college, and that first season I was like, I want this to happen. Like, I want to be able to go into a world and, like, live there and be there. That would be so neat and cool to have something almost different. So that was something I thought of. And that was, like, I wanted to play MMOs because of that game, and I wanted to play RPGs because of that show, because I was like, I need to experience, like, this type of feeling, but, like, being someone different for a little bit, or, like, having that escapism. So yeah, maybe that's why I like the Triforce so much, is because of the escapism of video games.
And a different form of escapism for many is films, watching films and that kind of media. So,
and putting yourself in the shoes of the main character there.
Yeah. So if you were to see a Legend of Zelda movie, now, correct me if I'm wrong, because we didn't really discuss this prior. We're not doing a factory. Like, who's going to direct it? Who's going to star
in it? I'm thinking more like, let's just talk about, like, what if they were going to make a Zelda movie, how would we like it to, like, be? What would we want it to be like? In this portion of the show, if that's what we're going to do, let's go ahead and just talk about what Zelda would look like if it were a movie. If they were to make a Zelda movie, what would our story be? What story are we going to... Because there has been countless stories, like we said, like 20-plus games, Legend of Zelda, 20-plus stories to tell. Some similar, some vastly different. None the same. What story would you tell, specifically? And I know yours. I don't know if you know mine. So, first ever internet prank to ever get me was... an IGN April Fool's Day video, and it was their Legend of Zelda trailer, which I still find myself going back and watching almost every April Fool's. Because on April Fool's Day, way back when, IGN released a Legend of Zelda trailer as a movie, and it looked really good at the time. Now it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, and I think they use one of the transitions that they use in Kung Pao, like the whooshing, like that sound.
You know, they use that sound effect in Ace Ventura 2 When Nature Calls, directed by Steve Odekirk.
Thank God. And they released this Ocarina. It was an Ocarina of Time-esque trailer. A little different the way they set it up. But I remember being so excited to see that story that I hadn't played yet. I hadn't actually played it, but I'd watched you play it millions of times as Banjo, who Gus always named his character Banjo because he'd rather be playing Banjo-Kazooie. So I was so excited to see Ocarina of Time brought to life. And I think they could do Ocarina of Time. They could do an Ocarina of Time movie. I don't know if I want Link to talk that much. I like in the Breath of the Wild concept that he's so strong, and he doesn't like to talk or say things.
Stoic.
Yeah, he's stoic, but it actually says, like, he doesn't like to say things because he doesn't want to, like, I forget what they said. It was actually, it's like canon. Like, he doesn't talk much because he doesn't want to, like, provide false hope or do anything wrong. He doesn't want to say the wrong thing, so he just holds back and just actions speak louder than words for him. But
no, silence says volumes.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I think that'd be neat to a movie. That would almost be artistic. Have your main character who says literally nothing throughout the movie. It'd be like, what's that movie? Drive. It'd be like Drive. Ryan Gosling says nothing.
Speaking of Drive, same director, Nicholas Winding Refn. I don't know if I said his name right. He directed, I can't remember the name of it. It was before Drive and before Bronson, I'm pretty sure. It stars Mads Mikkelsen. He's like a Viking or something. He's missing an eye. Can't remember the name of it. Damn it.
Odin?
No. Anyway, he doesn't say a word. Whole movie.
Good.
I haven't seen said movie, but I know he doesn't say a word.
Yeah, like that would be almost cool. But if I were to do it, I would split up I would split it up between when Link, because in the first three dungeons of Ocarina of Time, you're a boy, you're a kid, and you're trying to collect these items that will in turn open the Temple of Time, correct? And in the Temple of Time, you'll be able to stop Ganondorf by accessing the Temple of Time.
And getting the Master Sword.
Yeah. What you don't know is that when you pull the Master Sword, it will transport you 7 years into the future. So in the future, Ganondorf has taken over everything. Everything's desolate and destroyed. And now you have the power to beat him. But in order to get the power to beat him, you had to lose all this time. And everyone had to suffer for those 7 years because of it. But now you can defeat him and free Hyrule. And that's such a cool concept. But I would do the first movie. I would do a two-part movie. First movie, do the first section where you're a boy and you're going to these dungeons. And the second half, or literally ending with you pulling the Master Sword and then ending there. And then picking back up right 7 years later. You don't see the transformation. It's ping, and it does the blue lines, and then it cuts to black, and then the next movie, it's coming back, the blue lines, and you're an adult, in your full green tunic. It's just I would almost envision it as, the start of 28 Days Later, or, the start of Walking Dead. You're literally coming to. Everything was hunky-dory, people dancing out in Castletown, and now you're coming out and there's re-deads everywhere, and you're like, ah!
Yeah, those things hump you to death.
Yeah, they do.
Literally.
Yeah, they do. Sexual awakening.
Your character gets so scared running by those things, you literally freeze.
Yeah.
God.
But that's how I would do it. You go the 7 years in the future. The thing with the Zelda games is if you're doing a movie, I don't really know how you do the dungeons. Justice and these big, because I think you do. People are obsessed with these giant monsters fighting each other, giant robots fighting each other. What about the little guy fighting the big monster, a Shadow of the Colossus-esque type? Do that on the big screen, but I don't think you'd have to lose some of the aspects of the dungeons.
Yeah, and that's the thing with adapting something like Legend of Zelda to the big screen.
Be better on a TV show.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you're never going to get all of it. These games take at least 35 plus hours to beat proper. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, there's 9 levels plus the last castle.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dungeon,
a lot of story to tell.
A lot of little side stories, getting each medallion. As far as a story goes for a film, that's not all important either.
That's why maybe you do, not a montage, but, you just see him fighting the bosses. That's it. Yeah. It's just, three big boss fights in a row.
It might have to be, a slight montage.
To be the best, you got to pass the test.
Something like that. Unless it was something, like you said, on a Netflix or an Amazon or something like that, where it could be episodic, and you could take you could make that show in, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
A 10-hour long episode.
Be like Game of Thrones budget. Toss of that.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Give him a shot.
It would succeed.
Yeah. I think certainly. If it was done with respect.
Give it to the guy that does the Castlevania anime. And the Devil May Cry anime.
Sure.
Very upset.
Someone like that, as in a fan who is very talented and capable of making some quality shit.
Yeah,
we're talking.
That's why I think Hollywood has an issue with is they never give it to the fans. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they're pushing back Sonic because they realize they fucked up. The director did.
We need to make some money.
Yeah, but it's a surprise. I'm so surprised. They're push it back. Let's make it right. Why not just do it in the first place?
Yeah, it's still gonna be shit. I guarantee it.
Because they're not gonna.
I guarantee it. but someone like Illumination making the Super Mario Brothers movie.
It'll probably be stupid. But
it might not be. Stupid Mario Brothers, so we're saying.
I have a feeling that this, it's gonna, because I like Despicable Me, but I hate the Secret Life of Pets movies.
So who knows? It's too early to pass judgment. We haven't even seen a trailer yet.
True.
A movie like Wreck-It Ralph Do you see that yet?
I did. I haven't seen Break Standard.
I haven't seen that one either. But even though it doesn't directly involve like those kind of characters, it is a very video game movie, and it has video game properties. Yeah. And that's it made me hungry for there is a possibility for something like that to be good. So Legend of Zelda. Would you want it to be live action?
If it was Ocarina of Time, yes. If it was like Wind Waker style, no.
Yeah. And that's what I want. I want
Wind Waker. It would work better animated. Or anime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If it was anime.
Can you imagine the opening title sequence if it was an anime?
Holy shit.
Da 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 da.
Yes. Animated by the people. It's just as gruesome as Attack on Titan.
Do you think what's his name? Link would have had a better chance against Calamity Ganon if he had the gear. What's it called?
Something gear,
yeah. Fuck, what is it called?
I don't remember.
The grappling gear stuff from Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan, oh yeah. I mean, I had Erebos' Fury. I just shocked him to death, so, yeah.
But now, yeah, I'd want Wind Waker, and I definitely want it in animated style. I do have a buddy. He also wants them to make a Wind Waker movie, but he wants it, like, claymated, like the old Rudolph movies.
No.
Like, no.
No. No.
How about this, though? You haven't seen Kubo and the Two Strings yet, right?
I watched it with you in the theater.
Yeah, that's right, you did.
Yes, it was very snowy outside.
What if it was like that, like claymated?
If it was like action. That, maybe, but
be interesting.
I would rather them
just like
I would rather them literally just take the graphics of the game, cel-shaded graphics, and just do that. Give it to Pixar.
Yeah, some.
Give it some heart.
Make you cry.
Yeah.
I mean, that game makes me cry in general. how's that piece of music go? But when you hit the open sea, that's where I'd have my first one end. So,
talk about Wind Waker.
Yeah, I'll make it as quick as I can. So, what I love about Wind Waker the most is the story. You are this lazy boy living on an island with your grandmother and your little sister and the other villagers.
There's nothing to do.
Nothing to do but sleep. And it's your birthday, and your sister Ariel loves you and wants to like make her older brother happy so much she gives him her most prized possession, her telescope. And he's using it, and she's teaching him how to use it, and he sees a giant fucking bird. Yeah. Carrying a
big bird.
A big old bird. Big bird. And his...
Beaker? When you're finished with friend, I need to talk to you about thing.
carrying a young girl and her talent and its talents, and drops her. And then there's a pirate ship shooting after it, and drops a girl in the woods. Well, you go and you save the girl who's in the woods, and on your way out, this giant bird steals your sister, and you're off to save your sister.
The girl steals your heart.
Yeah. So for the first time in your young life, you're leaving this island.
To
go find your sister with these pirates, and you say goodbye to your grandmother, and that kills me every time. And
it's the heart.
And the head. And but I just love the world. You sail on the open sea.
And the music's phenomenal.
And you're on this journey to find your sister, which turns, like halfway through the game, turns into this grander adventure than you'd ever had imagined
it really
or hoped
does.
For. And you're like, oh, now I need to save a princess and get the pieces of the Triforce and defeat Ganondorf, who has returned once again.
I remember playing that game the first time, and you get to the fortress so early, like the final like boss thing, and you fight that big bird. And I was like, I thought this game was longer than this. And then you just get smacked out, and then you wake up, you know, later. But I was like, yeah, there's so much to that game, and it does turn into it's you're just trying to save your sister.
Now you're trying to save the world.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It turns out you're the best suited for the job.
That's right. Because your name's Link.
Yeah. Or Banjo.
Yeah. So where I'd end my first movie is right after where you said the bird smacks you away and you wake up on another island.
Onset Island. No. Yes.
Outset.
Outset.
Outset Island. And you find this boat that talks to you.
The Red Lion.
And that's like, oh, what's going on here? What kind of world are we dealing with? A boat that talks. And you get the sail, and you set out to sea. Oh, and then you get the Wind Waker, as in it's like a conductor stick, and you literally can compose the wind to do different things. You can control the wind. It can teleport you certain places. You can use it to access areas, and use your control stick. You're like and you can control the wind, and you set sail. And this is where my first movie would end. Because I would also do like a three-parter probably. And you set sail on the open sea, and that music starts hitting.
Wind Waker, part one.
Exactly. And so that's the other thing, like I mentioned earlier, there's so much stuff.
Yes.
You're in the Great Sea, different islands. You're collecting. There's a part where you collect 7 different Triforce pieces.
You gotta go on ghost ships and shit.
It's ridiculous. So
go down to old Hyrule.
It'd be tough to make that into 3 parts. So you'd have to do it like, first part is like the opening meet. The second part is like finding your sister and starting your quest to save the princess now. And the third part would be continuing that quest and the finale.
Could it be... the way I would see it, the Triforce, I don't know why I'm thinking this way, but like the final two, like Deathly Hallows and Deathly Hallows part, or like the two part Deathly
Harry Potter
Hallows.
Now?
Yeah. How they find the Horcruxes. Because it's like they have 2 movies to do it, but it does feel rushed, but it doesn't at the same time. Like they found all these in a really short period of time, but they like span it. You can tell the seasons are changing and shit.
Yeah, it's all in how it's directed, it's all in how it's written. You can make a 30-second scene feel like it took, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's all in how it's executed. Because
you could do, like, a montage scene of him collecting the Triforce
You'd have
pieces.
To. It's the only way.
Just them taking that little crane, pulling shit up, growing a beard, and shaving it off.
So, yeah, unless it was, like we said, on, like, Amazon or Netflix or something like that, it was 10 episodes. Yeah, that's the only way I could see that working. But I've always wanted a Legend of Zelda movie. I remember being in the third grade and coming up with my own Legend of Zelda story. And I remember even drawing a picture of it. Very different. I'm in third grade. I remember my Legend of Zelda movie was going to have a sex scene between Link and Zelda.
Oh, you're like, yes. Please.
And just so everyone knows who's listening, because we haven't made this very obvious yet, Link is who you play. You are the guy in the green hat.
Not Zelda.
You're not Zelda. Zelda is the princess.
I always hear that as a joke, but I have run into people that are like, oh, I thought that was Zelda.
Yeah, no.
Nah.
I even did that when my first Zelda game I ever played was Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
Like, all right, I gotta name him Zelda, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I did. I named him Zelda. I thought that was his fucking name. But I was also in, like, kindergarten or something.
And someone told you, and you're like, what? Is my face red?
Yeah. I had a sex scene planned.
You know, like Game of Thrones X.
And I drew a picture of Link and Zelda kissing while Ganondorf fell off of his castle into that big like lava pit below.
Good.
I was like, what movie was I making? Not like the game at all.
What movie was I making? Hentai.
I'm just as bad as the Hollywood directors making video game movies. I'm in third grade.
And there's like no.
You want this? I'll make something
time,
else.
There was like barely even an inkling. Well, there was like an inkling, but like Zelda and Link weren't exactly shipped together.
I mean,
it was there.
It's more like he's just like a protector or something. Yeah.
And that's how it is in like Breath of the Wild as well.
There's only one that I'm aware of. There's only one Zelda game where Link and Zelda like actually are like a thing.
Skyward Sword. But Breath of the Wild, it's there. You can feel that. There's something sweet. Almost kind.
What if
Breath of the Wild this Zelda this conversation we talked more about Beauty the Beast than anything else.
What if Jimmy Stewart was Ganon?
Yeah, Doria.
He's just up there playing the piano and drinking.
Come
brandy.
On in, Link. let me sit you down for a second. Just talk to you, because I just want to tell you. All I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to. I got this Triforce power. I'm just trying to get that little Triforce Courage there and go down to Indiana and grab the Triforce of Wisdom.
These toys are too much for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what's that, Majora? You want the moon?
Oh, tie a little lasso around it. Pull it down.
Yeah, I'll be down in 2 days.
Yeah.
Not 3.
Oh, Doria.
Who's that? Doria.
Doria. It's over.
It's over.
Doria. Doria. I'll be Shadow Ganon.
What if, actually, I'd want Jimmy Stewart to be,
What if Jimmy Stewart, it was just like, what if we could go back, like, Unreal Engine it and do, like, Ganon in that final fight, but Jimmy Stewart's face, but the Vertigo face, like, oh.
What if in Majora's Mask, the Happy Mask salesman had a Jimmy Stewart mask?
What if he turned into, he just turned into Giant Monster Man, like, just, he was the final boss. The Mask Man was the bad guy the whole time.
Yes,
he is terrifying. Have you seen, speaking of this, the YouTube video? The Cruel Fate YouTube video?
Which one's that?
The Majora's Mask one. It's like when Majora steals, or when Skull Kid steals it.
I don't remember if I have or not.
Oh, you better have. We'll watch it after this just to refresh you.
I thought you were talking about like the Unreal Engine trailer.
The remakes?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a really cool video. It's called, I think it's called Cruel Fate. It's a fan-made video of how Majora gets the mask, and it's almost shot like a movie.
I wonder if it sounds familiar.
I guarantee
as soon as we see
it,
I'll be like, ah,
but it's so good, good. And it makes you feel like they could do this if it was done by a fan.
And I just want to say one last thing on my end. I don't play video games as much as I used to, unless it's like a Zelda game, then I'll get into it. But A Link Between Worlds, which was for the 3DS, was such a delight of a game and took me by surprise.
It was kind of a surprise in getting it, too. Because it was like your birthday. Mom's like, what should I get him? I'm like, get him this.
Yeah. And I played that, and I was like, wow, this is just one of the best.
That's how it was for me, too, because you lent it to me, and then I beat it. Like, I wasn't even planning on beating it. I was just needed something to play, and I started playing it. I was like, holy shit. And that kicked me off on, like, a Zelda kick. I started playing more Zelda.
I just wanted to give that game a shout-out in particular. I think it deserves it. Twilight Princess, a lot of people, that's one of their favorites. Not personally mine. I do love the art direction of it. Skyward Sword, very frustrating game, control-wise, but the story is fantastic. And I love the watercolor, like paint style of it. Very cool. And Breath of the Wild, just a beautiful game. Even though I said it's not my favorite Zelda game, I find myself wanting to go back to that world all the time and just picking it up again.
Trailer, one of my favorite video game trailers of all time. It gets me choked up almost every time I watch it.
You're not one to cry, but
it gets me choked up.
It gets you.
All the time.
And and I think one Zelda thing we had not mentioned, not that it's important, but we never mentioned Zoras. Not that fucking matters. Zora's like these fish people.
I mentioned Mipha. You said there's more memorable people.
Yeah. They're more memorable Zoras. Like,
that's your sexual awakening? When,
yeah,
when
get,
the
you get engaged.
Yeah.
You get engaged when you're like 10 years old and Ocarina of Time.
Then she remembers you.
That's right.
Like, calm down, kid. She won't remember you. And then
I remember, I remember beating Ganon in Ocarina of Time when I was 8 years old. And like, you beat him and it does the whole like ending cinema scene.
Yeah.
It was doing that, and the family, we were going to dinner at the restaurant down the street. And like I'm like, wait, we can't leave. And they were like yelling, because they're like, all right, we'll wait a couple minutes. And it's like a 10-minute video. Yeah. Like, come on, we're going to go. I'm like, no, I just beat this game. Yeah.
Please!
Stuff like that. Even Wind Waker. I think I was like 11 or 12 when I beat that game. And I had a bedtime.
That's the worst.
And like, I beat it, and there's the final video. It's like, go to bed!
beating games and, like, not getting the proper send-off of the game is the worst. I try to always make it late at night now when I beat games. Like, I'll wait. Like, if I know I'm at the end, I'll be like, all right, I need to hold off. Like, right now I'm in the final dungeon. Got, like, two more floors to go. I'm like, I'll just play it tonight. Because I was playing it, like,
You gotta lock the door so no one disturbs you. You gotta light a candle.
Yeah.
Set the mood and get some
wine.
Well,
that's how I've beaten a lot of games. But Persona 5, quite possibly my favorite video game of all time. When I was beating, I was so into it, and I didn't have a job at the time. I was job hunting, and I was almost done. And I was like, I got nothing to do right now. So
video games are your job.
Yeah, kind of. I was like, I'll just play this. So I started playing it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to beat it. And they were doing road work outside the house, and the entire time I was playing it, like the final like boss, everything. Beep, beep, beep. like is so loud. So I ended up actually streaming it. I have a PlayStation TV. I streamed it to the back bedroom, so the graphics were really shitty, but I could at least hear it. And I played the majority of the final bit there. I got to a save point right before the final like prologue, and I played the final prologue at night. So I did get that at least, but. Yeah, video games, ending video games, that's, like, so important. Like, yes. The ending is, like, the fruits of all your labors. And I've gotten to the point where, like, I can tell you if I absolutely love the video game based on if I sit there and I watch the credits. Like, there are games I've beaten, and I get up, and I'm like, all right, I beat it, and I'll walk away. There's games I sit there, and I watch the credits. Like, Wind Waker was like that. Breath of the Wild was like that. Persona 5, Ocarina of Time was like that. I sit there, and I watch the credits, even when there's really not that much. Like, Ni No Kuni 1. Was like that. Ni No Kuni 2 was not like that. Like, I beat Ni No Kuni 2, and I was just so excited that I beat it.
Yeah, I got it. So it was more like you're so excited that you were done.
Yeah, which I like Ni No Kuni 2, but it, like, I went right into Kingdom Hearts, or Kingdom Hearts 1, and I was like, this game is so good. It's just crazy, because think about it. Like, I've been playing games. Like, I beat Breath of the Wild, and then I went into Mario Odyssey. Then from Mario Odyssey, I went into Persona 5. Persona 5, I went right into Ni No Kuni 2. Ni No Kuni 2, I went right into Kingdom Hearts. And then Kingdom Hearts went right into Persona 4.
Yeah.
So I've like been consistently playing a game for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, I told you that I don't play games as much as I used to. Last year, I had kind of like a resurgence in playing games.
So great.
I was finding my purpose again. Last year, I beat the new Spider-Man. I beat Shadow of the Colossus, the remake. I beat Breath of the Wild, finally, for the second time, sort of. Like, I played almost all of it, and then I had a tragedy in my life, and then I put it aside, and then I picked it up again. I started it over again, and I beat it, and then I played Super Mario Odyssey, beat that last year. I think there's one more. No, but I was, like, I got into, like, Castlevania.
Yeah.
I got to a certain point. I had to stop because it's too fucking hard. And I got into Octopath Traveler, which I'm still working on.
Almost there.
And we can talk about video games till we're blue in the face. We have tonight. So this is
all
just
Zelda, though.
Yeah, well, mostly. And yeah, this is our more Zelda themed episode of the Game Factory.
Yep.
Some video game discussion she comes.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, we'll see how you spit listeners like it. And if you have any suggestions on games to discuss in the future, run it by us in the comments wherever you're listen to this and that, or I'll pass it to Ben to give us where you can find us.
Yeah. So if you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom if you didn't already. Audioboom is like our primary site. That's where you can find all our podcasts, all our information, all our links to our social media account, etc. That's our primary thing. We upload the podcast there, and it disperses it to everyone else. So you can also find us on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and all your podcasting sources. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. We will discuss, you know, what we're going to be watching this week, what we're going to be discussing this week. We'll drop clips of the episode. We'll drop memes that Gus makes of the episode, and different things of that nature. And we'll drop brief summaries on there as well. We'll also be retweeting great podcasts. Be sure to check those out. Yeah, they are all the podcasts we retweet are all worth a listen. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and you type in the Brothers Movie Factory. Hey, you find us there. You click on it. Like it if you desire. Follow us if you desire. You can see links to everything Ben mentioned. Our mains, anyway, Audioboom, Spotify, and Twitter. And I usually provide memes and pictures and just information on what we're watching each and every week.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed this little bit different Brothers Game Factory today, where we just kind of talked about Legend of Zelda and what it's meant to us and the stories that we have and the idle chat we have. So until next week, when we'll be discussing a movie, Brothers.
Brothers.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Zelda theme. Brothers.
I didn't
get brothers, that. Brothers.
Doria! What if you, like, what if... your life had a soundtrack, and as you unbuttoned your pants to have sex, it would play the, like, fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark theme, like the so taking it out, and you're like, this is the Staff of Ra.
Yes, I call it. Most vaginas I've seen are like when you open the Ark of the Covenant. Melt your face right off.
Ah!
Tear you to pieces.
How do we get there?
Let it take you there.
How do we get there?